Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. This week, Dennis Cuddy will examine and reveal conspiracy theories. Mac Dominic will explore interdimensional rebellion. And today, Derek Gilbert exposes the fallen realm and the plot to ignite the final war of the ages. We're only a few days away from the premier event of 2024. Mysteries of the Bible Verse. This Friday and Saturday, June 7th and 8th in the Cincinnati area. The lineup of speakers is amazing, and the topics covered will be out of this world. Derek Gilbert, Rudy Landa, Michael Hoggard, Micah Van Hus, and many others will be in attendance ready to present. For a complete listing of speakers and topics, and a link to special hotel rates, visit the events page of our website, swrc.com. Giants, UFOs, dragons, demons, secret societies, topics your Sunday school teacher didn't talk about. Mysteries of the Bible Verse, this Friday and Saturday, June 7th and 8th. Registration is now open with a limited number of VIP packages still available. Visit the events page of our website, swrc.com, and register today. You can also register by calling 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Mysteries of the Bible Verse, June 7th and 8th in Cincinnati. Here's today's host, Micah Van Hus, with one of the Mysteries of the Bible Verse featured speakers, Derek Gilbert.
Welcome to the program today. I am your host, Micah Van Hus. I produce Marginal Mysteries here at Southwest Radio Ministries. Today, we have Derek Gilbert on the program with us. Derek, how are you doing today?
Doing very well, thank you.
Awesome. And you just got back from a trip to Israel. How was that trip?
We've been to Israel four times, and I have to say this was the most powerful. I mean, all of the tours have been really impactful in different ways. But this one was shorter, but we visited sites that were off the typical tours. We visited sites in the south that were attacked on October 7th, the town of Sderot, where the police station was besieged and overrun. We visited the site of the Nova Music Festival, where 364 young Israelis, people from other nations, lost their lives, 40 others abducted, taken back into Gaza. We also visited a village called Okafim, and saw just the damage done to the homes there by the terrorists, and talked to people in the neighborhood, the people who pulled out their phones. They were showing us security camera footage of the attack. I mean, it's just astonishing. So between that and then going to Tel Aviv, visiting IDF soldiers recuperating at the rehabilitation center there, the Hostage Square, and other sites on this tour, it was just really, really powerful.
And I watched one of your episodes on 5 and 10 this week. Folks don't know about 5 and 10, go check it out. 5 and 10 is an excellent program hosted by Derek, and you were over there in Israel and obviously on 5 and 10, and I got to see you one day this week over there talking about that stuff. And of course, folks that follow Southwest Radio Ministries know that we did a film trip in Israel, and we got home 3 weeks before the October 7th attack, and so you got to see some things, obviously, that we didn't get to see and talk with folks who went through those experiences, so I know that you'll remember that for the rest of your life.
Yeah, it was a small group. Last year, we went with a group of about 110 people. This year, we had 9 altogether, including Sharon and me. So, and except for one brave young fellow from England, the other 6 were all people who'd been to Israel with us previously. Mm-hmm. So really amazing that there were people from 3 continents who joined us for this this little mission. And yet, just this small group. Everywhere we went, there were people who were thanking us for coming to Israel at this time, because tourism has essentially dropped to almost nothing. And it was impactful for them to know that there are Christians around the world who are still praying for Israel, who support Israel, because so many get their news from the corporate media, and all they're showing now is the devastation in Gaza, which gives a very slanted perspective of what's really happening over there.
Yeah, and of course, we're seeing the protest here in the United States and on universities. And like you said, the liberal media, the left media, they want to blow it out of proportion, you know, on all kinds of issues, not just the Gaza issue. But, and again, Hamas puts out their numbers of what they claim civilian casualties, but yet the media just runs with it immediately without even fact-checking. Because it fits their, their narrative. The reason why, one of the reasons why we have you on the program today is you are going to be speaking at the Mysteries of the Bible Verse event in Cincinnati, Ohio, June 7th and 8th. Derek will be speaking on Friday and Saturday. He will be our keynote speaker on Saturday. Derek, now you are, your family's from Cincinnati, are they not?
Well, going way, way back in history, I'm from Chicago, and the family didn't stay in Cincinnati for all that long. In fact, at the time, it was called Columbia. They were on that first boatload of settlers in 1794, a couple of flatboats that landed at what was the first settlement north of the Ohio River in Ohio, planted the first Baptist church there, as I understand. My Bailey ancestors, my father's mother's family, going back, oh gosh, landed in Maryland back in the 17th century late, but after the Revolutionary War, the patriarch of the family led his three of his sons and a daughter, several daughters, downriver, and they settled at what became Cincinnati. But that was not an easy time to live in that region. So, in fact, there's a rock, a memorial stone that was put up there 100 years after that landing to commemorate the event. I've never seen it. I don't know that anyone in our family has ever seen it. But there is a family connection to Cincinnati.
That's awesome. I'm looking forward to going to Cincinnati, meeting you there, and listening to you speak on the topics you're going to be speaking about. So you are going to be speaking, one of your topics is giants in the Bible and why they matter. So if you'll lead us off with this discussion by telling us why the giants in the Bible matter.
They really are a lot more important to Christian theology than most of us would imagine. I think most pastors stay away from it because it's a weird topic. It doesn't fit the scientific or scientistic, really, worldview that we've been soaking in here in the West since the Enlightenment. Giants, really? That sounds like Jack and the Beanstalk. But the consensus of Bible scholars, not all of whom are Christian or believers even, but for the last 100 years, the consensus of Bible scholars is that, when Moses wrote the book of Genesis, or in their view, whoever wrote Genesis, the Hebrew prophets really did mean that angelic beings, spirit beings called the sons of God, B'nai HaElohim, came down and cohabited with human women, producing a race of hybrid entities called the Nephilim, who were understood to be giants. Now, again, they may or may not believe that that actually happened, but they understand that that's what the Hebrew prophets meant when they wrote it. But that's not what our pastors are taught in seminary. And when you strip that out, that Genesis 6 narrative out of the Bible, Genesis 6 verses 1 through 4, suddenly there are a lot of weird things in the Bible that make no sense whatsoever. As our friend, the late Dr. Michael Heiser, very well-respected Bible scholar, pointed out, if you would ask a Jew in the Second Temple period, which is the period that includes Jesus and the disciples, why is the world in such a mess? You know, to modern-day Christians, we'd say, because of the fall in the Garden of Eden. Mm-hmm. And that's true. But Jews of that period, and again, this would include the apostles and Jesus himself, would add, yes, but you've also got the Genesis 11 narrative, which is the story of the Tower of Babel, but also Genesis 6 and the Nephilim, the creation of the Nephilim. Because those entities destroyed in the flood of Noah, those giants who were an existential threat to humanity, for two reasons. Number one, because they were destroying humankind in an effort apparently to take dominion of Earth, but also because they and their angelic progenitors, the sons of God, were teaching us things that we weren't supposed to know. Now, that's not explicit in Scripture. It is explained in more detail in the extra-biblical document called the Book of First Enoch, verses 1 through 36 in that book, called the Book of the Watchers, the Watchers being a class of angelic being that apparently very powerful. They're only mentioned once in Scripture, Daniel chapter 4, but apparently were given some responsibility, some authority to direct God's creation, to oversee God's creation. And for example, in Daniel chapter 4, they Nebuchadnezzar for his pride. They say, 7 years you're going to live like an animal, eating grass and sleeping outdoors. This was by decree of the watchers. That's who these entities were. There were some faithful watchers, as in Daniel 4, and some unfaithful watchers, rebellious watchers, as in the book of First Enoch, very briefly described in Genesis chapter 6. The spirits of these Nephilim, these giants, destroyed in the flood of Noah, show up throughout the Old Testament, but they're usually hidden in the English translation because the word Rephaim, which is the word in Hebrew that refers to their spirits, is usually translated as something like the dead or the shades or the departed. When you look and find those references to the Rephaim and see that there was something special about these entities, they were considered to be spirits in the netherworld. They had a position of authority, it seems, in Ezekiel chapter 32. The chiefs of the mighty chiefs in Ezekiel chapter 32, in the midst of Sheol, it's clear that that was understood by Jewish religious scholars to refer to the spirits of the giants, the spirits of the Nephilim destroyed in the flood of Noah. So they are woven through the history of the Bible. There was a cult of the dead, a cult that venerated the spirits of the dead around ancient Israel. The Israelites were drawn into it, and prophets, especially Isaiah, wrote polemics against it. And it really makes a lot more sense when you understand that this war, this supernatural war that began at Eden, continued through the Mount Hermon rebellion, Genesis chapter 6, through Babel and another generation, if you will, of fallen angels who were given the responsibility of overseeing humanity and decided to try to take dominion of Earth away from humanity again. This is a long war for dominion of the Earth, and it's all about who gets resurrected in the end times. So 1 Corinthians 15 describes how this is all going to end.
Okay. And before we get to that, if folks are listening, you know, I get these questions, you get these questions. Folks say, well, you know, this stuff, you know, the Bible talks about it. I don't really believe they're really giants or this is what was really going on. But folks that believe their scripture references are full of what you were just talking about. Can you give us, well, let's real quick, before we get into the question, can you give us any biblical scriptural backup for the things that the Book of Enoch was talking about when it comes to the giants?
As far as how they impacted humanity?
Or no, just portions of scripture that would back up the idea of the giants.
Well, it's clear that Jewish religious scholars understood the connection between the Rephaim, the Nephilim, and giants. Sharon and I like to look at the Septuagint translation when we read the Old Testament. The Septuagint is a translation that was made by Jewish religious scholars in the around 200 BC, so 3rd century BC, translated from Hebrew into Greek. So what we call the Old Testament, that was translated into Greek 200 years before the birth of Jesus. And there are references to Rephaim that are clearly translated as titans or giants. For example, 2 Samuel 5, verses 18 and 22, where David goes out to fight the Philistines in the Valley of Rephaim. In the Septuagint, it's translated Valley of the Titans. Isaiah 14, verse 9, the shades, the Rephaim, are translated as giants in the Septuagint. Proverbs 2, verse 18, where Rephaim is translated as the departed or the dead. In Proverbs, in the Septuagint translation, it's translated as the earthborn, which is a reference to the Titans because they were believed to be the children of Mother Gaia, Mother Earth. Proverbs 21, verse 16, those who have no sense, and I'm paraphrasing here, will join the assembly of the dead. Septuagint translates congregation of the giants. Mm. So Jewish religious scholars, centuries before the birth of Jesus, understood this connection between the Nephilim / Rephaim and giants, and even more interestingly, to the titans of Greek mythology. Mm-hmm. And Sharon and I have argued in our book, Veneration, that the titans of Greek and Roman myth were actually those sons of God from Genesis chapter 6, just a fake news version of the story.
And the titans fought against the Olympians in the Titanomachy. And yeah, I think there's a lot of mirroring. We get to Psalm 82 and the council of Elohim, gods judging each other. But fascinating stuff. Folks, you are listening to Derek Gilbert. Derek Gilbert has joined us on Watchmen on the Wall, but Derek Gilbert will also be speaking at the Mysteries of the Bible Verse event in Cincinnati, Ohio on June 7th and 8th. Not only do we have Derek Gilbert speaking about the giants, his topic we will talk about tomorrow, Unmasking Lucifer, we also have speaking Rudy Landa, Michael Hoggard, Greg Patton, Mac Dominic, Josh Davis, and myself, Micah Van Hus. That is at the Mysteries of the Bible Verse event, and you can register for the Mysteries of the Bible Verse at marginalmysteries.com, marginalmysteries.com, or you can call Southwest Radio Ministries at 800-652-1144. So, Derek, earlier, I cut you off a little bit about the scripture of giants. You were getting ready to talk about the end times portion of giants or as they relate to what's coming.
Yeah, there is a prophecy in Isaiah chapter 26 that I think is really interesting. And ultimately, this is all about whose children are raised up at the end of time. And this is, again, a prophecy that gets overlooked because it's not apparent in the English translation that is dealing with the spirits of the Rephaim. But Isaiah 26, verse 13 reads, "O Lord our God, other lords beside you have ruled over us, but your name alone we bring to remembrance." And even that verse is significant because this cult of the spirits of the dead that was part of Canaanite and Amorite culture, even, you know, Egyptian, Hittite, basically was everywhere in the ancient Near East, Greek and Roman as well, required families to summon their ancestors once a month to a ritual meal to feed the ancestors. Otherwise, if you didn't feed your departed great-grandparents and going back generations, once a month, on the night of no moon, it was always on the 30th of the month, they ceased to exist. They would fade away. So you had to do this to keep the ancestral gods, the spirits of your ancestors, happy with you, okay? Mm-hmm. And you did that by calling their name. You had to summon them. It was a necromancy ritual, actually. So your name alone we bring to remembrance. This is Isaiah basically rebuking that monthly ritual. They are dead. They will not live. They are shades. No, they are Rephaim in the Hebrew. They are Rephaim. They will not arise. To that end, you have visited them with destruction and wiped out all remembrance of them. Then in verse 19, Isaiah continues, "Your dead shall live, their bodies shall rise. You who dwell in the dust, awake and sing for joy." This is a prophecy of resurrection, which Paul picks up in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, the last part of verse 19 in Isaiah 26 is a little clunky. "For your dew is a dew of light, and the earth will give birth to the Rephaim." This would seem to contradict what we just read in Isaiah in verse 14, but the translation, a better translation based on the Septuagint, again, going back to the way it was translated by Jewish scholars around 200 BC, which is about 1,200 years before the Masoretic text on which our Old Testaments are based, the Masoretic Hebrew, reads, "For your dew is a dew of light, and the land of the impious," or the land of the ungodly, "will fall." And scholars have looked at this, say this can only be of Greek mythology, of Greek religion, because the Jewish scholars in 200 BC, they were living in a world dominated by the Greeks. The Romans had not yet come to power yet fully. They'd been surrounded by Greek religion for hundreds of years, since Alexander the Great, more than a century earlier. They knew very well what their Greek neighbors believed, and they understood the connection. So what they were saying is this: the land of the impious, or in other words, Tartarus, where the Titans are confined, will be destroyed. And we know from 2 Peter 2, verse 4, that the sinful angels, and when you read 2 Peter 2 in context, you see sons of God from Genesis chapter 6. For 2 Peter 2, verse 4, "For God did not spare the angels when they sinned, but thrust them down to," in the Greek it actually says Tartarus, translated into English as Hades or hell, but it's Tartarus, a separate place in the netherworld reserved for supernatural rebels. So, connection there between the Titans of the Greek myth, Greek religion, and the sons of God from Genesis 6 is pretty solid. And here in Isaiah 26, we've got a prophecy saying, your dead, meaning the faithful, those who have followed the will of Yahweh, they will live. Their bodies shall rise. Those who are in the dust shall awake and sing for joy. But these others, the other lords, the Rephaim, they are dead. They will not live. There's how it plays out in the end. This is all a battle over whose children, the children of Adam and Eve, created by God, or the children of these hybrid children that were never supposed to live, and created from this unholy union, will be resurrected at the end.
And as you mentioned earlier, it's a lot of folks think that the fall of mankind, of Adam and Eve, is where it all started. But as you said, it started in the garden with the serpent, which I think in our next program you're going to talk about that. So I won't say anything about that yet. But it's more, it's kind of like Michael Heiser's book of Reversing Hormone. So is what you're talking about is similar with that. With, you know, there's more reasons than the salvation of mankind that Jesus came. It's not just the fall of mankind. It's also the corruption of the bloodline from these fallen angels, and it's a fascinating topic. So how did you get interested? What's your genesis of your study on these topics?
Well, it was Mike Heiser, actually. back around 2004 and 5, as we were trying to figure out how all these puzzle pieces fit together, Sharon and I stumbled across a reference to Mike in another online work dealing with end times prophecy. And so looked him up and saw, you know, found his Divine Counsel website, thedivinecounsel.com, which explains these concepts that these spirit beings, angels, if you will, but that's really not a precise enough term, were created by God and serve as sort of a heavenly court for our king, which is, you know, God the Father. Just as a king in the Middle Ages would have a court. For his own reasons and his own pleasure, he includes them in the administration of his creation, which is earth. Not all of them, because they were created with free will as well, just like us humans. Not all of them chose to be obedient. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, now that seems to have some explanatory power, to use a phrase Mike liked, for what's going on in the earth today. I mean, we Christians accept that Satan is a real entity. At least some of us do. Mm-hmm. Sadly, the majority of American Christians don't. But if we accept that Satan is real, why not these other fallen angels who were worshipped as gods by the ancient world? And when you start piecing those puzzle pieces together, you find there's a lot of overlap between the pagan religions and what the Hebrew prophets and the apostles knew.
Folks, you're listening to Derek Gilbert. Derek Gilbert will be speaking at the Mysteries of the Bible Verse event in Cincinnati, Ohio, June 7th and 8th. If you are interested in coming out and hearing Derek speak, he will be speaking both Friday and Saturday. You can register for the Mysteries of the Bible Verse at marginalmysteries.com. marginalmysteries.com, or you can call 800-652-1144. That's the phone number for Southwest Radio Ministries. Children 12 and under who are accompanied can attend for free. So if you got any kids that are interested in this topic, I know I meet a number of young folks as I speak that that really like to talk about the dinosaurs, the giants, or different things that we do talk about. So we're going to be talking about the topics that your Sunday school teacher didn't talk about. Now, Derek, I have your book, The Second Coming of Saturn. Folks may want to get your resources. How do folks connect with you?
The best way is through our website, gilberthouse.org, gilberthouse.org. That links to all of our programs, and we've got a couple of podcasts, a couple of video programs, and archives that go all the way back to 2005. Sharon and I have been doing this for a little while, and we try to make it as available as we can.
Just to make sure I heard you correctly, it was kind of Michael Heiser's study that got you and Sharon interested.
Yeah, we reached out to Mike as early as 2005. He was one of the first guests that we had on our podcast called PID Radio, which stands for Peering into Darkness, which is kind of what we do. It's not that we revel in it or glorify it or anything. We just want to understand the nature of the enemy, because most Christians are on a battlefield but don't understand why they're being hurt. They're in the crossfire. We need to understand that there is an intelligent evil out there. Evil intelligences, plural, not just Satan and Satan and a couple of demonic minions. No, there are a number of them out there, and they really want to destroy what God created and called good, and that includes us and everything that we love.
Remind us again, why do topics like this matter in our day and age? How can we apply this?
Well, because we see this playing out in the headlines. We don't try to read prophetic fulfillment in every headline that comes across the newswire, but for example, what's happening in Israel? We can certainly see events unfolding there that could lead to the world coming against Israel, and that is prophesied in the end times. If you don't understand that God has foreseen this, revealed it to his prophets and apostles thousands of years ago, and that he's already got it under control, that none of this has surprised him, then you can wake up every day with just fearful and in dread, with no hope for anything good to come out of it. But if you understand that this has all been foreseen and that God chose you from the beginning of time to be here in this moment right now for his purposes, well, that gets you energized to get up, get out of bed every day, regardless of how you're feeling, because you've got a mission. Let's go serve our king.
And to be ready for his return, because it comes as a thief in the night.
Amen.
It'd be a surprise. So, folks, you've been listening to Derek Gilbert. We will have Derek on the program tomorrow as well. So make sure you tune back in, where Derek will be talking about his topic, his Mysteries of the Bible Verse topic, Unmasking Lucifer, the Fallen Angel More Dangerous Than Satan.
Giants are real. The small g gods of the pagans are real. Dragons are real, and they're preparing for the final war with God. Giants, Gods, and Dragons by Derek and Sharon Gilbert is a fresh look at the end of days, drawing on the worldview of the prophets and apostles who understood that the spirit realm is far more real than we've been taught. In this book, you'll discover the identities of the four horsemen of the apocalypse, the connection between Babel, Babylon, and what's in your wallet, the dragons who will walk the earth in the last days. Order your copy of Giants, Gods, and Dragons today when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also order on our website, swrc.com. Giants, Gods, and Dragons by Derek and Sharon Gilbert. Exposing the fallen realm and the plot to ignite the final war of the ages. Order your copy today when you call 1-800-652-1144. I want to encourage you to visit the Resource Center on our website, swrc.com. There you'll find over 1,000 books and DVDs by the nation's top teachers, Bible prophecy, biblical mysteries, and the latest archaeology and apologetics are all found at swrc.com. That's swrc.com. The latest resources from Lonnie Shipman, Micah Van Hus, Billy Crone, and Josh Davis are all found at swrc.com. And available for the very first time, the entire Columbus, Ohio Prophecy Conference. All 12 speakers, 20 total presentations, one complete DVD set. Topics include secret societies, the invisible war on the saints, Jewish roots of Christianity, the earth as it was, unveiling the Antichrist, one world update, and much more. Included in this complete set is Jonathan Kahn's presentation on the Josiah Manifesto. Order the complete Columbus Conference DVD set today when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Or you can order on our website, swrc.com. In our resource spotlight today, we're highlighting Derek and Sharon Gilbert's book, Giants, Gods, and Dragons. Order your copy of Giants, Gods, and Dragons today when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also order at our website, swrc.com. Giants, Gods, and Dragons by Derek and Sharon Gilbert, exposing the fallen realm and the plot to ignite the final war of the ages. Order your copy today when you call 1-800-652-1144. Tomorrow, Derek Gilbert will continue his look inside the world of Giants, Gods, and Dragons. Be sure to tune in on your favorite radio station or by subscribing to our daily Watchmen on the Wall podcast. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. Visit swrc.com.